And it's 9 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 12 noon in the East Coast, and it's 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is February 20th, 2017, and this is Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. Today is President Day. It's a day to celebrate and honor the U.S. presidents, all through the years. And as Joe Wilson, Congressman Joe Wilson just said, he honors all the sacrifice they gave. And if you look at what is going through with President Trump this day, you can see what kind of sacrifice a man has to give to the nation and to the world in order for him to implement some kind of policy. For some reason, it seems like the Democratic Party is not settling down, and all the hoo-ha around the election is still unset. And we wonder why. Why they created such a mess? Why they want to sabotage the administration like they did to President Bush? And frankly, I was there. I was there when they were sabotaging everything he was saying. They were ridiculing him, and they were even talking bad on the moment that 9/11 happened. And last week on Wednesday, I had the honor to announce before you and to speak to Congressman Joe Wilson from South Carolina. Honorable man. He's standing on the Foreign Affairs Committee, on the Armed Committee, and Education Subcommittee to the Troop. He does so much sacrifice for the world, and nobody can hear. I was trying to search to Google him before the broadcasting, and I looked and I see that the only thing that really, really resonated with the viewers on YouTube is something he said once to President Obama. And I think people work so hard to give their life away for the nation. His four sons all serve in the U.S. military and in various cause, and others also serve as in the very honorable elected official, and he didn't mention it, so I'm not going to mention it. However, the idea is how much a man can give, and President Donald Trump, he arrived so far. He did so much, and now he gets so much honor all around the globe. And he's actually playing nice with Russia and playing nice with North Korea, even inviting them to come. And when you take those, hot potatoes from the oven, you actually create an environment that we all can live in. The creation of chaos is what creates conflict. And people in the world needs to understand that the leader of the free world is here and is well and is kicking and is gone, set them straight. So I bless President Donald Trump, and I hope that all his and his family will be blessed at these days like the years to come. Let's get some music, and we'll be back after that.
Shalom, Israel Republicans. I'm Governor Mike Pence. It's a great honor for Donald Trump and I to stand together with you tonight in support of Israel. And I'm deeply humbled to be speaking to you at this historic time and with all of you there in that special holy place of Jerusalem, the eternal home of the Jewish people. Over the course of this campaign, many people have asked me why our ticket stands so strongly with Israel. Donald Trump and I stand with Israel because Israel's fight is our fight. Because Israel's cause is our cause. We stand with Israel for the same reasons good people everywhere stand with Israel. We stand with Israel because her cause is just, because her values are our values, and because her fate is our fate. Israel is not just our strongest ally in the region. As I've said for so many years, Israel is our most cherished ally in the world. Currently, Israel lives under the ominous shadow of a threatening neighbor who seeks to wipe her off the face of the earth. Yet Donald Trump and I understand that Israel is not hated by her enemies for what she does wrong, but rather for what she does right. Like the United States, Israel is hated by terrorists and the failed states that support them. She is hated by too many progressives because she is successful and her people are free. There's one more thing that Donald Trump and I understand and will never shrink from proclaiming. Like the United States, Israel defends herself with an army of citizen soldiers who fight their nation's battles with decency, humanity, and restraint. As Israel shows the world how to turn scarcity into plenty, sickness into health, poverty into wealth, as Israel takes the curses, the slanders, and lies of the world and turns them into blessings, the real question is, how could any good person not stand with Israel? Let the word go forth from Jerusalem, the eternal, undivided capital of the Jewish people and the Jewish state, that Donald Trump and I are proud to stand with Israel. The American people are proud to stand with Israel. And should Donald Trump and I have the privilege of serving this great nation? If the world knows nothing else, the world will know this: America stands with Israel. Together, let us all pray that God continues to bless Israel and all her citizens, Jewish, Muslim, and Christian, with life, hope, and peace. May God bless you all. May God bless Israel. And may God continue to bless the United States of America.
All right. That was Vice President Michael Pence. God bless him for his wonderful, wonderful comments here. And that is music to my ear. As we said, listen to music, and now we heard it. Now, at this point, when we have a moment when the wife, the first lady, Melania Trump, started her speech with a blessing and a prayer to everybody, I second that, and I want to bless President Donald J. Trump today, if I may. I open, as usual, the Bible in a day, in a page. You know, I didn't know which point it's going to make. And there is a page in Zechariah 8, and it says, so what? And I'm not turning it into a religious one. I'm just want to say a blessing with all my heart. And sometimes the word of sacred words of the Bible are much better than my own words, because I couldn't even get to the level. So let's try to read this as our best with all our intention. Though said Hashem, Master of Legion, let your hands be strong. You who hear those days, these words from the mouth of the prophet, which were spoken on the day of the foundation, was laid to the temple of Hashem, Master of Legion, the sanctuary to be built. For before those days, people had no earning, nor were earning from animals. Those who traveled back and forth had no peace because of the enemy. And I set everyone man against his neighbor. But now, not as earlier days, am I toward the remnant of this people, the word of Hashem, Master of the Legion, for the seeds of peace. The vine give forth its fruit, and the land gives forth its produce, and the heaven gives forth their due. I have bestowed all this upon the remnant of this people, and it will happen that just as you, O house of Judah and house of Israel, had been cursing the nation, so will I say you, and you will be a blessing. Do not fear. And let your hands be strong, for said Hashem, Master of Legion, just as I planned to bring misfortune upon you when your forefather angered me, said Hashem, Master of Legion, and I did not relent from those days, so I have turned back these days and planned the benefit to benefit Jerusalem and the house of Judah. Do not fear. These are the things that you should do. Speak the truth with one another. In your gates, judge with truth, justice, and peace. Do not think evil toward the other in your hearts, and do not love false oath, for all this, what I hate, the word of Hashem. Amen. Wow, that was hard. But I'm so happy I got that piece, because it says, you know, that fortune will be these days. It's a great omen. If it will happen, it will be marvelous. Because remember, the Jewish people really upset God, you know, for the believer to understand. Many times we had, you know, all this history that says, you know, why God was standing out of the cause, you know, when the Jewish people were struggling. I cannot answer for him, but I can say that if he blesses us, surely things, you know, he'll bless everybody else around, because it seems like peaceful coexistence will happen. Now let's start to understand what's in stake. Now the Democrats need to settle down. John Kerry is back. He needs to talk to some people. I heard that there was a conference someplace. We need to settle in. Now there is a big conference that happens in the European Union, which is about NATO. The forces, the alliances that settled, that were created after the Second World War. We need to understand that collaboration of all party is important. And what we realize these days, that they are not on the same page with America. You have to listen to Michael Pence, the vice president, where he's so calm and so wonderful, and he still couldn't make it through those hearts that they are really, really stubborn hearts, I think, of the European leadership. Let's listen to what Michael Pence says. I have a few segments. Let's listen to one of them.
American Vice President Mike Pence has warned U.S. allies in Europe they must pay their fair share to support NATO. But addressing the Munich Security Conference, he pledged the Trump administration's unwavering commitment to the military alliance.
Today, tomorrow, and every day hence, be confident that the United States is now and will always be your greatest ally. President Trump and the American people are fully devoted to our transatlantic union.
Pence said the U.S. would hold Russia accountable while seeking common ground. For the German chancellor, that includes working with Moscow in the fight against Islamist terrorism. Russia is a neighbor of the European Union. Russia is on our external border, she said. I won't let up in efforts to establish a better relationship with Russia, despite differing opinions on many issues. Asked separately about President Trump's blistering attacks on the news media, Chancellor Merkel stressed the importance of the freedom of the press.
All right, we are back. You know, Michael Pence was talking to the European leadership, and he was telling them what President Trump said, in other words, but he was much more polite. He said that it's about time to take responsibility, and to the commitment that they made need to be fulfilled. And it seems to be strange that countries like Germany cannot fulfill her dues with NATO, which seems to be really, really strong, powerful force in the back of the European Union. So I think that they're going to set the record straight. I know that it's hard to have a 2% of the GOP going to defense and to the NATO, which is normally in these days, it's really conceivable to understand that it's hard for everybody. But we cannot dismay the idea that it means a lot. And Donald Trump said something important. He's going to talk to Ukraine and Russia and try to settle that dispute, if I got it correct. Now think about it. In 2013, the European Union wanted to add Ukraine to their midst. That would have put NATO forces, well, actually European Union, in the border with Russia. That's what triggered the whole mechanism of Russian invading or getting back Crimea. Think about it. They were irritating the big bear. And when you have such a powerful man or such a powerful nation across, you need to really check if it's all working right for him too. You cannot add somebody or a country that can jeopardize the well-being of such a great nation, such a big nation, such powerful nation. And in 2013, let's remember, there was no powerful counterpart to say that we could have stand up. And we weren't even, about to. As far as the world policy, because America just finished a really hard 10 years in Iraq, and the situation in America wasn't so great, and there was no reason to send any troops to Europe or to Syria for that matter, because in 2013 we had the Syria crisis. And their using of chemical weapon against their own people. So the Russian actually play a very prominent role when they liberated the world from the question how to get rid of this chemical weapon, and they took responsibility and move it toward Germany, which I would question why Germany, but let's assume that was the end game, because I don't remember that in the... What about the situation with the German forces? But I'm not going to, get into it. It's another show for that. But as far as 2013, when Russia took back Crimea because it was a part of Russia before, the Ukraine got really upset, and they were asking themselves if they're going to join European Union. At the end, they did not. So this maneuver of Russia actually helped. If you think about it, what we have today is the same situation. The only thing is that Crimea is a part of Russia. They voted into it, and the Americans are going to settle it in probably through fair and square negotiation. And it's something that brings us to the idea that peaceful coexistence needs to be a part of this universe of ours. We're much more, wary of what's going on, and we need to understand that it's going to be okay. We can manage it. We need a new day. And the president, bless him, is doing that. So I'm all for it. I'm all for it. And I hope that we have a peaceful coexistence there and elsewhere. Syria is still in the mix. And I know that there is some troops in, I don't know about American troops, but they're invading of in Iraq, which create a really big condition to overcome now. But Mosul is on the map. Let's hope for the best for them too. Let's have some music, and we'll be back after that.
Shining her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful, and I tell her every day.
And we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth, President Day. So let's recap. Now we have Michael Pence in Europe talking to NATO. Of course, Donald Trump is making everybody very busy, and they're exhausted. They're not really, 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 really used to such a pace, I think. And everybody was saying, wow, what a chaos. No, it's not chaotic. They just need to keep up the pace or maybe get more exercise and less booze. You know, remember, this president does not drink. So he doesn't do anything wrong. He is alive and he is in shape and he wants to do hard work. And that's how the business world done. It's not the money of the people. So you spend and you don't have to have the repercussion of and consequence of what your action. You know, he works like a businessman, that whatever he does is important and it's going to see fruits. Let's bless him for that. Now, we have on the other side of the ocean in England, we have one incredible guy that he talks his heart out. And every time that he speaks, he really triggers some reaction. But for us, he's fantastic. Nigel Farage. Let's listen to him from England.
Mr. Farage now. On behalf of the FDD group.
Thank you. Well, I can see that you're all very upset here this afternoon, and I've no doubt that the events in the USA over the last few weeks have been a very profound shock to you. Perhaps you're right. You see, what has happened here is somebody has stood on a manifesto for election, got into office, and within 1 week said that he will hold faith with his own electorate. It is called genuine democracy. Unlike the system we have in the European Union, where the unelected commissioners, like Mogherini here, have the sole right to propose legislation. So I'm sure that it's a great shock to you to see that a genuinely elected Democrat is doing what he was put in to do. And it must be, I would think today in Washington. Sorry. I can't hear you, mate.
Di questo Parlamento e delle funzioni istituzionali.
This Parliament has institutional functions, as does the Commission, out of institutional respect to the Commission, but also as a result of the Commissioner's President. We need to be polite, please. So thank you.
And out of institutional respect, President, to the truth, perhaps you will understand and agree with me that within the European form of lawmaking, it is the unelected commission that have the sole right to propose legislation. If I'm wrong in saying that, you can throw me out of this parliament right here, right now, this afternoon.
Honorable Mr. Farage, I am just asking you to be a little bit more respectful, please. Thank you. You may continue.
Oh, I'll be respectful, all right. And perhaps you will be too, for the right of the leader of a political party that won the European elections in the United Kingdom in 2014. Now, it seems to me that actually, with all the anti-Trump rhetoric that is coming from everywhere, actually what we're hearing is the true nature of the European project, which is genuine anti-Americanism. Trump is motivated by protecting the United States of America from Islamic terrorism, whereas what has happened in this room and in governments around Europe is you have welcomed these people into your own homes. But can we please, just for a moment, look at the facts? Amongst all the hyperbole and the hysteria, all that Donald Trump has done is taken seven countries that were identified by President Obama as posing a risk to the USA. Obama already had put in place extreme vetting. What Trump has done is for 90 days to say, let's examine that vetting and see whether it's good enough. But I want to ask you, Mr. Verhofstadt, and all the others, with your faux outrage today, where were you when Obama in 2011 banned any Iraqi from going into the country for 6 months? Why do I hear no criticism in this chamber or from the Commission of Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Bahrain and others who refuse to take a single, not one, refugee or displaced person from Syria? And how can it be that on Holocaust Day, last Friday, not a single one of you criticised the 16 countries in the world that ban Israeli Jews from even going to their country on holiday. What is this hypocrisy? So perhaps what we need to do, Mr. President, and through you to the members, perhaps what we need to do is to be a little bit more constructive. All of us here say we're Democrats. Well, here's a chance to prove it. Let us invite President Trump to come here to this European Parliament. I'm sure as Democrats you'd all agree that what we need to do is to have an open dialogue with the newly elected most powerful man in the world. And if you throw that rejection back in my face, then you prove yourself to be the anti-democratic zealots that I always thought you were.
All right. All right, and we are back. That was Nigel Farage, one of the outstanding leaders in the world today. I speak his art, and he's incredible, and I am so happy that I found this part, because he actually explained what Donald Trump is doing and what America is trying to do. And he calling also the rest of the world. What is it with anti-Judaism, anti-Israeli? Because you definitely cannot go and visit any of the Arab nation if you're Israeli, and Jewish for that matter. If you think about it, when people ask Israel to give Palestinian negotiation a chance, or when they're talking about Palestinian issue, I wonder what they mean, because they're asking Israel to give up land. That's the only things that they want. You know, let's be clear. They don't want to do anything with Israel, only to get electricity like they're getting. Getting all what their medical facilities that Israel can supply, help and care they will use. And they don't want to interact in any other. Only things that paying money for them, like work, labor, if they like it, or if they can enjoy some kind of advantage on the land, property, etc. The peace accord that they're talking about is bogus, because it's not peaceful. They don't recognize Israel's existence in the Middle East at all. They don't recognize being Jewish as positive issue for them. They actually negate any other religion, and we need to turn the table around. And I'm not saying with not disrespect, because I know that our people, they're a billion. There must be understandable fact that they are, most of them, like we're talking about, more than 90% of them are purely respectable people, believers. They are really working hard. The only problem is with those few that can ruin people's life. That's the only thing we are talking about. That's when the extreme needs to be designated in another form, and they need to be removed or detained or whatever. But the Muslim world needs to work with us. But on that matter, they need also to understand that there are other people elsewhere. And we're talking about Christianity, we're talking about Judaism, we're talking about any other people that believe in different things. I'm not calling on anything. I'm just calling about the fact that being a Jewish person, it's a person on a mission, and that's our duty in the Middle East. That's why we are in the midst of everything. We are like equivalent of the balance of power between their obnoxious behavior. Let's assume. Think about Iranian that wants the Shiite, that wants to go take over Syria, Turkey, Lebanon, Iraq, and going down. They are coming, and there is the Saudis that have, they're going up, and in Yemen there is a big fight because there is like a fraction there, and the Jordanian are Saudis by fact, and the balance is probably here and around. So when they are fighting in Syria, they're fighting between Shiite and Sunnis, and we're talking about Lebanon that already are actually changing their way, because now the Lebanese starting to talk something weird, the weirdest things that, you know, usually the Hezbollah is the spokesperson for Lebanon, and now Lebanon has a different voice that, but still warning Israel from getting close. I don't understand. They had two words to teach them better, but they didn't learn the lesson. The idea is Israel is a Jewish nation by entity. The Arab world don't want to recognize it. Now, let's go back to the world in large, saying, listen, you gave us the title on the land for the Jewish people. Now, what you else want? You know, those people don't get us off our back because they still want to have their Arab regime. They don't want to, it's not about, you know, anybody else. It's about them wanting to take control. And we are actually the balance of power. And God gave us also a great friend like America. Great friends, you know, in Europe we have mighty friends too. You know, sometimes they play right and they play in the right direction. You know, England been an incredible force in the recent years. So let's say we need to, you know, push the ball back to them and say we need 100 years of policy needs to be recognized by the rest of the world. Peace process doesn't mean nothing if you guys don't call it quits with this. You know, Israel is the land of whoever. Israel is the Jewish people land, and that's it. Now, we're not talking about Jordan that got her piece of the deal early in the stage in 1920, and that's how she become a part of, you know, that Palestine land. It become Jordan. When they talk about two-state solution, there you go. That's your two-state solution. Because any things that you want to put in between will be submerged with terrorism. Because what they're doing in Gaza is terrorism. And now they're even going extreme because there are forces that settled in. And those poor Palestinian people, they were, those people, children, you know, they are still ping pong between those terrorist organization. I wish we can all start a new day also there for them, for everybody's sake. It's about time. All right, let's see if let's hear if we can have another song, and we'll be back after that. And that was Footloose. I know you guys gonna like it. Always, you know, that memories of good old days. You know, nothing better than to see an old movie to remind you all how happy we were when we were simple, together, united, and we were dancing and singing. And that's why I want to introduce to you for the first time here and a really incredible song that called Gold in Hebrew Zahav, which is the two great singers, newcomers and new, but has a rhythm and the flavor of the 60s in America. So please listen to it.
Hey, yo, Jody, יש מצב שאתה נותן לי משהו כזה? קל. אוקיי, 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 שים גיטרות.
Jody, Jodalish,
ven el tavos,
stand boy, oy oy oy, hi,
All right, that was Static Ben El Tavori. That's gold, Zahav. It's, you know, a new group, a new couple of singers that play nice, and, you know, their promoter called Gaga Booking. So think about it. It's amazing because right now we also hear some people that, you know, sing in different languages, which the tune become to be universal. Even for a stranger to listen to the rhythm, it's really nice sometimes. And I listen to songs in Arabic lately, which I wanted to put, and I'll put soon. Not today, but we'll put it on because I want to show you or let you listen to a universalistic yearn. Okay. And understanding that there is a new day where the music make everybody happy, and it doesn't matter who you are and where you are, you'll always love to dance to a good rhythm, and it doesn't matter what language it is. And there was one in Japanese that I remember I put aside for you, so stay tuned for that. Anyway, let's go on. There was just a reminder of what Mr. Putin think about the Iranian problem, because remember there was a story last week when you know, we talked about the stand of Iranian regime again, and I don't know what they were playing with, but they were playing with fire, and thank God they settled in. Putin probably had something to do about it. This is long, so we're gonna interrupt in the middle, but let's listen to what Putin had to say in English, of course, translated.
Possible. First, I've repeatedly voiced Russia's official stance. Iran has the right to a peaceful nuclear program, and it can't be singled out for discrimination. Second, we need to be aware that Iran is located in a very challenging region. I've told our Iranian partners about that. That's why Iranian threats made towards neighboring countries, in particular Israel, threats that Israel can be destroyed, are absolutely unacceptable. This is counterproductive.
This is not a proper quote of the Iranian president.
It doesn't quite matter whether it's a proper quote or not. It means it's best to avoid a wording that could be improperly quoted or could be interpreted differently. That's why the focus on Iran does have a reason behind it. I have no doubts that Iran is compliant with the rules, simply because there's no proof of the opposite. According to the latest IAEA report, Iran has been abiding by the commitments it has taken up. True, there are some outstanding issues, but with due patience and friendly attitudes, they can be resolved. I have a great respect for Iran and a great interest in it. This is a great country indeed. You don't often hear this attitude mentioned in relation to Iran, but it's true. This is a country with a great culture, a great history, and is a great nation. They're very proud of their country. They have their own understanding of their place, both in the region and in the world, and that's something you have to respect. You've grasped the core of the problem. Iranians are very smart and cunning politicians, and to a certain degree, they have exploited this confrontation with the United States.
They are not the only ones.
They're extremely crafty in this, and they do it to tackle their domestic political issues. When there's an external enemy, it united the nation. But I guess the United States have been employing the same technique. After the collapse of the Soviet Union, there have been no external threats that would allow Washington to dominate the West. There must be a threat so that the US can protect their allies from it. This position yields political and economic benefits. If everyone relies on one country for protection, then this country is entitled to some preferential treatment. So it's very important to possess this status of a global defender, to be able to resolve issues even beyond the realm of foreign policy and security issues. I think the US has been using Iran for this very purpose, that it is to unite their allies in the shadow of a real or false threat. It's quite a complicated issue, but it's not an issue for Russia. We've been complying with our international commitments, including on Iran's peaceful nuclear program. As you know, Russia built the Bushehr power plant in Iran. We've completed this project and are prepared for further cooperation. Yet when we proposed to enrich uranium on Russian territory, our Iranian partners refused, for reasons unknown to us. They argue that they will enrich uranium on their own, in line with existing international regulations. And, as I said earlier, if they don't break any rules, they're fully entitled to do that. We will endorse this, right? But we will also remain aware of the concerns that other states and the international community has concerning full compliance with these rules.
Can I clarify something? The thing is, I was asking you not only about the U.S.-Iranian relations, but also about the U.S.-Russian relations. Would you agree that we have fundamental ideological differences on key issues of international law?
So right on the eve of my meeting with Barack Obama, you're pushing me to make some serious statements.
It's a very important issue. If the country thinks it has more rights than others...
I thought you wouldn't notice my deviation, but you did. Indeed, you are very persistent. To date, we don't have any significant ideological differences, but we have fundamental cultural differences. Individualism lies at the core of the American identity, while Russia has been a country of collectivism. One student of Pushkin's legacy has formulated this difference very aptly. Take Scarlett O'Hara from Gone with the Wind, for instance. She says, I'll never be hungry again. This is the most important thing for her. Russians have different, far loftier ambitions, more of a spiritual kind. It's more about your relationship with God. We have different visions of life. That's why it's very difficult to understand each other, but it's still possible.
That's why there's international law to create a level playing field for everyone.
The U.S. is a very democratic state, there's no doubt about that, and it originally developed as a democratic state. When the first settlers set their foot on the continent, life forced them to forge a relationship and maintain a dialogue with each other to survive. That's why America was initially conceived as a fundamental democracy. With that in mind, we should not forget that America's development began with a large-scale ethnic cleansing, unprecedented in human history. I wouldn't like to delve so deeply into it, but you're forcing me to do it. When Europeans arrived in America, that was the first thing they did. And you have to be honest about it. There are not so many stories like that in human history. Take the destruction of Carthage by the Roman Empire. The legend has it that Romans plowed over and sowed the city with salt so that nothing will ever grow there. Europeans didn't use the salt because they used the land for agriculture, but they wiped out the indigenous population. Then there was slavery, and that's something that's deeply ingrained in America. In his memoirs, U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell revealed how hard it was for him as a black man, how hard it was for him to live with other people staring at you. It means this mentality has taken root in the hearts and minds of the people, and is likely to still be there. Now take the Soviet Union. We know a lot about Stalin now. We know him as a dictator and a tyrant. But still, I don't think that in the spring of 1945, Stalin would have used a nuclear bomb against Germany, if he had one. He could have done it in 1941 or 1942, when it was a matter of life or death. But I really doubt that he would have done it in 1945, when the enemy had almost given up and had absolutely no chance to reverse the trend. I don't think he would. Now look at the US, they dropped the bomb on Japan, a country that was a non-nuclear state and was very close to defeat. So there are big differences between us, but it's quite natural that people with such differences are determined to find ways to understand each other better. I don't think there is an alternative. Moreover, it's not by chance that Russia and the US forged an alliance in the most critical moments of modern history. That was the case in World War I and World War II. Even if there was fierce confrontation, our countries united in the face of a common threat, which means there's something that unites us. There must be some fundamental interests that bring us together. That's something we need to focus on first. We need to be aware of our differences, but focus on a positive agenda that can improve our cooperation.
America-Russia's relations with the U.S. are important issues for our network, largely because Americans make up most of our audience. If you simply look at our website's hit statistics, you'll see that most of our audience comes from America. So anything related to the U.S. is a key topic for us. And here is Anastasia.
And we are back. And we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth on BBS Radio. radio for the people, by the people. You know, guys, it is a long tape about, Vladimir Putin talking about America and about the situation with Iran and the rest. It's old. It's before the election of President Trump. So it might change a little, but I'm sure that is basic understanding. The only thing I want to clarify, he was mentioning Pushkin and about the fact that their Russian lofty ambition is to relate, their relationship with God. And when, American dollars, all the, in God we trust, and, in every anthem you talk about God, I don't think that he has a point there. So we need to clarify it with him, especially when such a true believer that we have in Donald Trump and his wife, Melania. So let's get it straight. You know, the whole world right now is under stress. And if we have one common denominator that is God, by all means, let's use that point to understand that we all, we're all here and we're all in this world and there is a God and it's not us. That's the rhythm, guys. Now, let's think. Right now, we have an election. You know, in Europe is really, really under stress right now because Michael Pence just went there and said, show me the money, in very polite word. But he said, show me the money. And they're really, really shaken because if NATO is going to have, really going to expand its target, military target, it's going to be raising, the capacity from is 37 billion to 60 billion, they say. And it's going to be the largest military power in Europe. Well, that's what it was supposed to be. But they don't want it, I guess, under one control or whatever. Let's not mix in this right now. I'm not serving anymore on the board of NATO in Israel, so I cannot say a word in this. Well, I was an honorary once for a short time, I guess 10 years ago. Wow, time flies. Anyway, guys, we had to go. We have to go. I love you. I hope that you have a wonderful day everywhere you are in California. I hope that you have a wonderful day also in the East Coast. And whoever on the road, please take it easy. Make sure that you, relax and calm and make sure that you come home safe because at home you have those who love you. So by all means, be well. I'm sending you all my best from here in the Holy Land. God bless you all, and we'll talk next week. All the best. Ciao, ciao.